I too want to welcome you to the service today. We've had wonderful preparation today for the Lord to speak to us through the songs that were selected both by the chorister and by the worship team. I was planning this morning on continuing the series of the Beatitudes, and in fact was just about finished with it on Thursday as I was driving home. And all of a sudden, it seemed like the Lord switched tracks on me and brought some thoughts to my mind. It seemed like the Lord was bringing some thoughts to my mind. And I was connecting with some of the journey that we as a congregation have been on, and as Ray and your family have been on. I was connecting with the fact that it just seems like life is such a mixture of pain and pleasure, of victory and defeat, of success and failure, of mountaintops and valleys. And I got to thinking about valleys. And it seemed like the Lord was directing me to lead us this morning through some thoughts about how do we deal with our valleys. You know, there's, in Psalms 23, David introduces the thought of the valley. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And we have no reason to believe that David wrote this in the process of his dying. We often think of this verse as being connected to whenever that time comes that we need to engage in the process of dying. And even though we're not afraid of death, we're not afraid of what comes after death. None of us look forward to the process of dying. And so this verse has brought comfort to many people as they walk through that particular valley. But we don't know that David was dying as he wrote this verse. I think what David was referring to is living on planet Earth. Because we live on a sin-cursed earth where death is all around us, and we are always in the valley of the shadow of death as we live on planet Earth. And so I believe it's important for us this morning to think around the thought of dealing with the valleys. And I don't have any cute answers as to how to do that in some pleasant experience. But I do believe that the Bible has some things for us to think about as we entertain our valleys. There's an old proverb that says, "All sunshine and no rain makes a desert." And we know that to be true. But you know, it's also true that in our lives, as we embrace our value, as we embrace our valleys, as we embrace the rain that comes into our lives, and it comes in many, many different ways, it produces fruit in our lives. It produces maturity. It produces character, and it produces intimacy with the Father. There's a couple verses that I'd like to just sort of set the tone for this morning. You may want to turn to these two in your Bible, these two scriptures, because I'll be coming to them a little later on and won't have them on the overhead later on. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, I actually only have through 17 on the PowerPoint. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." That means to give up, to give up hope, to be hopeless. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. This journey through the valley is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The second scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Valleys are all around us. And, you know, of course, as I sensed this shift, I had no idea that Burl was going to get the kind of news he got on Saturday night. I had no idea that a tornado was going to go through northern Lancaster County. But the reality is, some facts about valleys are that valleys are inevitable. We're not in Eden any longer, and we're not in heaven yet. And so valleys are inevitable. You're either going through one right now, or you just came through one, or you're about to enter one. Valleys are inevitable. They tend to happen right after another. In fact, Jesus tells us in John, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace." Ah, there's peace in the valley. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so as we approach valleys, as we recognize they're inevitable, we can know that there is peace available in the valley because Jesus is there to give us peace because he has overcome the world. There will be a time that we will not walk in the valley of the shadow of death. There will be a time that death will be no more and there will be no more shadow to it. But in the meantime, he is there to give us peace. Secondly, valleys are unpredictable. It's part of the thing that makes them frustrating is that you can't plan for them. You can't schedule them. They always come unexpectedly, and they usually seem to come at the worst possible time. Have you ever had a flat tire at a wonderful time to have one? It just doesn't work that way. Be great if we could schedule our valleys. We could become more prepared. And I think that's one of the things that would be helpful for us, generally speaking, is if we had more of an attitude that valleys are going to come. Valleys are a part of this life. And so we shouldn't be so surprised and frustrated when we find ourselves in one. And I want to be careful to be clear because I'm going to come back to this in just a little bit. I'm not talking about grief here. I'm talking about the valleys. Grief is the process of suffering a loss. And it's the process, maybe I'll talk about it right now. It's the process of connecting with the loss. It's the process that God has given us to work through deep losses. And it's important that we enter into grief when we've suffered a loss. And I appreciate, Ray, the way you've been up front with that and the way you have invited us into your process of grief. And it's a place that we need to go when we've suffered a loss, to connect with our grief, to process our grief, to recognize the impact that the loss is having on our life, so that we can make appropriate choices as we move towards a new normal. So I'm not talking about grief this morning. I'm talking about the valleys of the frustration and the things that happen to us as we live here on the earth. So we tend to have an optimistic mindset that we don't expect any trouble today. And then when it happens, we're frustrated with it, and maybe we should be better connected with the fact that valleys are inevitable, they're unpredictable, and they're impartial. Valleys happen to everybody, good people and bad people. No one is immune from it. No one gets to skate through problem-free. Everybody has trials. Even people that are right with the Lord. Because that's one of the places the devil tries to take it when we enter into maybe a series of trials, that we start to become suspicious that maybe we're not right with the Lord. And there are some that would say that if you're right with the Lord, you won't experience trials. And unfortunately, if that were true, they would go through life and they would never get to experience the deeper walk of Christ that comes by going through the trial. No one is immune. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. So when you're going through a period of trials, don't assume that it's because there's something wrong between you and the Lord. Now, the Lord does discipline, and it's not wrong to ask that question. Lord, is there something you're trying to get my attention for? There's nothing wrong with asking that question and allowing the Lord to speak into your heart if there is something He's trying to get your attention for. But don't automatically go there. Don't assume that that's what's happening, because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But notice what it says. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. You see, valleys are thankfully temporary. They have an end to them. They don't last. They're not a permanent location. David says, even though I walk through the valley. Valleys are not something that we spend our entire life in. Thankfully, beside every valley, there are two mountains. That's what makes the valley. You walk through them. There are circumstances that have a season to them. They're not a wall. They're not a dead end. They're more like a tunnel. Now, I know that some of you have a physical infirmity, and you may be saying, wait a minute, Dave, my valley, I don't think, has an end, because I have a physical infirmity that is going to be with me for my entire life. Well, I'm here to appeal to you today that I don't think that infirmity, and I say this kindly and with deep respect, I don't think that infirmity is intended to be a valley to you. And you might say, Dave, that's easy for you to say. And I know that. I acknowledge that. But I believe that God wants to walk you through that infirmity to find the grace of God and the power of God to be in that condition and yet to be thriving spiritually, thriving in your soul, and honoring God in the midst of it, that the people that watch you in that condition will not see you in a valley, but see you walking in the joy of the Lord. But sometimes for us to recognize the temporary nature of our valley, so to speak, we need to have an eternal perspective. Because in view of eternity, life on earth is very temporary, very short in its season. As we think of millions and millions and millions of years, the Bible calls it a vapor. It's a flash in the pan. It's a moment. But that's where I think we can draw comfort from scriptures like 2 Corinthians, and maybe you want to go there now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it identifies it there, which is but for a moment. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. We do not give up hope. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Talks there about we're not looking at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And then in 1 Peter, greatly rejoiced that though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. And again, it talks about what is being produced in those trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, one of the realities is that valleys are productive. Valleys are productive. It says it's working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And in 1 Peter, that your faith may be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Christ. You see, mountaintops, while they're wonderful to spend time on, every deer hunter here will acknowledge that. There's nothing quite like being on a mountain. But you know, all around you are rocks and trees. And that's about it. Rocks and trees. And if you walk 100 yards, you know what you'll find? Rocks and trees. Then you go another 100 yards, you know what you find? Rocks and trees. And hopefully a deer. But basically, rocks and deer. For most of us, it's rocks and trees. But it's in the valley where the lush, fertile ground is. It's in the valley where food is produced. Very little farming on the mountains. It's in the valleys. That's where growth happens. And it's true in our lives as well. There is not much growth that happens in the mountaintops of our life. Oh, they're wonderful. We go to a worship experience and we have that spine-tingling time of worship. And that's important, and it's important that we worship and connect with the Father. But our times of growth are in the valleys. We build faith when we're in the valleys. When everything is fine, you don't need much faith. But in the valley, faith grows. It's in the valley that intimacy grows, because we all know that when we're walking through a valley, we pray much more than we do when we're on the mountaintop. And our prayer will have a fervency to it. And character grows in the mountains, in the valleys. As you exercise godliness in the face of conflict, it's not that hard to be godly when there's no conflict. But when there's conflict in our lives, when there's disappointment and frustration, for us to exercise godliness in the face of all that is the development of character. And I believe that it's in the valleys of our lives that God is truly glorified. We demonstrate the power of the Spirit in the valley. We demonstrate the joy of the Lord in the valley. And I believe that it's in the valleys of our life that the kingdom of God is established. Valleys have a way of purifying us. They have a way of freeing us even from some of the things that otherwise might bind us. One of the interesting realizations from the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were familiar with valleys. The three Hebrew children were in the book of Daniel. They were taken captive, as you recall, and in the course of their captivity, they were set apart, and they were offered all the king's delicacies, and And because they knew that the king's wine and the meat and so forth had been offered to idols, they couldn't defile themselves with eating that meat or drinking that wine. And I have every reason to believe they weren't vegetarians before they were taken captive. I imagine they enjoyed a steak just as much as any of us do. But because of their situation, they were brought into a valley where they had to choose to become vegetarians to please the Lord. And then there was another valley when they were told that at the sound of all the music they were to bow down to this golden image that the king had set up, and they couldn't do that, so another valley. But you know, as they were thrown into that fiery furnace, they were bound and they were thrown into that fiery furnace, and you know, the only thing that the fire touched were the ropes that bound them. That's the only thing it touched. In fact, they came out and they didn't even smell smoke on them. But it burned the ropes. As we embrace the valleys that God brings into our lives, or God allows to come, because I believe they come both ways. I think sometimes God brings valleys into our lives to get our attention or even to develop our character. But I think sometimes He just allows them because He knows they'll develop character. But the only thing that valley will really touch, if we embrace it in the power of God, is the ropes that bind us as we develop intimacy with the Lord. Well, those are some facts about valleys, but what's our responsibility when we come into a valley? Well, in Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'd like us to pick out a few things here. First of all, our responsibility is to stand against fear and discouragement when we're in our valleys. Notice he says he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. I hear in that he's not running through it, he's not trying quick to get to the other side. He's allowing the valley to happen, and he's walking through it. He's not panicking, and he's not turning around and running the other way. How in the world did I get into this valley? I went out of this valley. No, he's walking through the valley. And then he says, I'm not going to be afraid. I will calmly go through. He says, I will fear no evil. I really wanted to bring that up just a little later on. You see, David says, I will fear no evil. He is implying a choice. I will. It implies an act of his volition, a decision to not fear evil. You see, we can choose in the valley to be fearful and discouraged, or we can choose otherwise. Discouragement is always a choice. Now, you may have to chew on that a bit. Discouragement is always a choice. Again, I'm not talking about grief. This is where I was going to talk about grief. Grief is a process that God has given us to connect and work through a loss. But discouragement is something else. Discouragement is when we lose heart, when we lose hope, when we give up. And that is always a choice. Now, we don't sit back and say, I'm going to choose to be discouraged. Well, maybe some of you do, but most of us don't, because we don't really enjoy being discouraged. But what we do is we think discouraging thoughts. We think about all of the negatives. We think about all of the problems that are connected with this valley. I'm going to be late to work. I'm going to get yelled at, or whatever. We think of all the negatives that are connected to the valley, rather than looking for the positives in this valley, looking for the character that's going to be developed, depending on the valley, looking for the intimacy with God that can be developed. The Bible says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any praise, any virtue, think on these things. And as we choose to think of all the negatives of the valley, we will become discouraged. But if we honor the Lord and look to Him for bringing positives out of this, it counteracts the discouragement. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so if we find ourselves discouraged, if we find ourselves fearful, we need to keep our focus. We need to recognize our focus has come off of God and has come off of the positives. You know, I believe that's why the three Hebrew children could face their valleys with such courage. Because when they spoke to the king, they said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king." They didn't know what was going to happen. They, for all they knew, they were going to fry. But either way, they knew that God was going to deliver them from the king. He was either going to shut the lion's mouths or He was going to take them home. Their focus was on God. And what is God hoping to accomplish in the valley that we are in? He wants to give us grace and strength to walk through our valley. Listen to Paul's prayer in Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For what? For all patience and long-suffering. That speaks of a valley. It's in the valleys that we need patience and long-suffering. It says with joy. That God wants to give us the power to do that. So we need to stand against the fear and the discouragement. And secondly, we need to remember that God is with us. God not only promises us power in the valley, He promises His presence. You will never go through a valley alone. God promises His presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You know, there's a strategic change in the language of the 23rd Psalm. In the beginning, the pronouns are in the third person. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me into green pastures. He restores my soul. David is talking about God. But then when it gets to the valley, it changes to the second person pronoun. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The beginning of the psalm, he's talking about God, but when it gets to the valley, he starts talking to God. You see, when we're going through the valley, we don't want to talk about God. We want to talk to God. And that's the beauty of our faith, is that our faith is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And you won't know that any better than when you're in a valley. That's when the relationship that you have with the Father comes into bloom, in a way that never happens on the mountains. So we need to remember, we need to stand against the fear and discouragement by choosing to think in the right ways. We need to remember that God is with us, and then we need to rely on God's protection and guidance. David reminded himself of God's rod and his staff, of the rod and the staff, which were familiar to him as a shepherd boy. Most of you are probably aware of this, but the rod was a weapon. It was about a 2-foot-long stick with a knot on the end of it that shepherds became quite good at throwing at an animal, a fox or something that was coming into the sheep to protect the sheep. There was a rod there to do that. And God is David is recognizing that when we're in the valley, there's a rod of protection available for us from our Father. And we know that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, where it talks about that He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that we are able, but will with the temptation or the valley or the trial make a way of escape that we can bear it. And so there's sort of a rod in the hands of the Father that when the enemy or walking through this valley of the shadow of death wants to overwhelm us, wants to become too much for us, God takes his rod and beats it back. But then there's also the staff, which is a tool. The staff is a long stick with a crook in the end of it, and the shepherd uses it to draw his sheep to him or to lift them up when they're down or to guide them. Some beautiful pictures there for us when we're in our valley. That God's staff is there to draw us close to him, to lift us up when we're down or to guide us. So when we go through our valley, we're not going through it alone. God's going with it, and he's using his rod and his staff to walk with us. But we need to reach out for the comfort of the Lord. So in conclusion this morning, valleys are inevitable. They are. They're unpredictable. They come when least expected. They're impartial. Doesn't mean that you're not right with God because you're having a bunch of valleys. They're temporary. They will pass. We will get through the valley. And they're intended to be productive in our lives. But we need to accept the responsibility in the valley of refusing to become discouraged, remembering God is with us, and rely on God for protection and guidance. We need to get it into our systems, brothers and sisters. In this world, we will have trouble. But he says, he's telling you this so that you can have peace because he has overcome the world. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, as I look back over my life at some of the times of deepest valleys, you know, I can bear testimony to the fact that they are now precious memories for me. Times when intimacy with the Father was like no other time. Time where I've grown the most. And while it's hard to do in the valley, I believe that it's important for us to develop an attitude of thankfulness even while we're in the valley, recognizing the production, the good things that happen in a valley. And just this morning as I was finishing up on this, I was reminded of an old song that I haven't heard sung in years, but used to be one that'll be one that many of you are familiar with. Thank you for the valley I walk through today. If you'd want to play it at this time, please.
Thank you. Thank you for every hill I climb.
May God help us to that end. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, that we are planning on having a fellowship meal today, and we do bring extra for visitors, so if you don't need to go anywhere quickly after the service, it won't be long until we'll be serving a fellowship meal together. We invite you to stay for that. So let's stand at this time and have a closing prayer, after which you will be dismissed. Father in heaven, again this morning we have been challenged by your word. We have walked through the realizations of valleys and also the promise that as we go through these trials, they are producing things in our lives that have eternal weight to them. I pray that each of us, Lord, would have the ability to apply the scriptures to our lives, that we would find the comfort and the courage to embrace our valleys in such a way that will bring you glory, that will demonstrate godly character, and that will build your kingdom. So we commit ourselves to you to this end. And Lord, as we spend time around the tables, we thank you, first of all, for the food that you have provided for us. We ask your blessing on both the food and those who have been working to make it available for us. We also pray your blessing on the fellowship around the table, Lord, that we would be able to encourage each other and draw each other closer to the image of Jesus that we all want to become more like. So bless our time together. And as we go from this place, and as we enter into the next valley that comes our way, may we be reminded that we can be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may consider yourselves dismissed.